Good morning. I have the privilege of introducing Ade to you this morning, who will be giving us the next installment in our series called Amazing Grace. I like our summer series because we're able to have people share what's been going on in their lives. We call it a devotional series. Or I like what Stephen said for when he welcomed everyone, a testimonial series. And so this morning we'll be hearing from Ade. She is I'm thinking of Jenny. Where is Jenny? So they have the same last name. You can probably figure it out, Ade and Jenny Oloo. And they're a big part of what's happening here at Fellowship Church. And you may not know, but Ade has now switched over from the campus side to the city side of things. So we have our first city staff, which is awesome. But I'm really glad for us to be able to hear from Ade this morning. So let's pray. God, thank you that we belong to you. God, thank you for Ade and the things that you've done in his life. God, thank you that he belongs to you. Thank you that his desire is to serve you with his life. And I pray that you would bless him this morning and bless us through him. Speak through him this morning. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Ade. John already mentioned my name. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. And for those of you who are new already, you know that this accent is different. So I'm from Nigeria, I feel. Haven't picked up yet. I'm humbled to share this morning. This summer we've been going through the series Amazing Grace. And when they asked me to share, I was thinking about what should I share about Amazing Grace in my life. I think the Lord prompted me to share about my story, especially is my dad's story. Okay, I grew up, my dad was an alcoholic. And so this morning, I'm going to be sharing something that is very personal to me. It's kind of like nobody really knows this part of my story. And so, but I'm excited to share this morning. Our series verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast of all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And that is what I want to share this morning to you all. Just like, I don't want to boast. I want to boast in Christ this morning. So I wanted to start by just giving you a story, a little story about my dad. I think I have a picture of my dad. Yep. Yeah, it's my dad. I didn't inherit the afro. So what I was told, obviously, you know, my dad was the only child of his parents, and the reason was not because my grandparents didn't wanted to have kids. I think my grandma suffered so many miscarriages, and so when she was pregnant with my dad, her group of friends, you know, okay, this is Africa, okay, they're probably traditionalists, okay, I'm going to save you all the stories. But they said, hey, this pregnancy, you're going to carry it full term. And so it was kind of like the big talk in town, like, okay, you need to give back to this child. And obviously, now that I'm talking about it, obviously it's Christ that did his work, not really those traditionalists, okay? So she gave back to my dad. And obviously, being the only child, you can imagine he was pampered. I mean, he got everything that he wanted because obviously, you know, being the only child and like this group of women helped raise him. Even when we were kids and we'll go back to the villages, all these women, we have to go greet all these women. I'm like, who are all these women that we have to go say hi to? You know, they're like, they took care of my dad. It's crazy. But, you know, as he grew up, I think when he was 10 years old, they decided to move him from the village and took him to a city so that my uncle could help raise him. So if you can imagine, you have a kid who's 10 years old and all of a sudden he's been moved to another state, because they wanted him to have the best in life. And so my uncle raised my dad, I guess my great-grand-uncle, you know. And so my dad went to the best schools, the high schools in Nigeria. He went to one of the best colleges in Nigeria, and he studied to be an accountant. And after that, he started working for the Nigerian government as one of the top accountants in Nigeria. And so, you know, I think he started drinking. My uncle kind of introduced him of drinking alcohol. Now, I don't have an issue with alcohol, obviously, but obviously drinking in excesses, that's where the issue is. And so I guess my uncle, from a young age, started introducing him to that kind of life, and that's why he started drinking a lot. And so he was working for the government, and he later married my mom, which was an arranged marriage back then in Africa. It's like, you know, he asked my mom later, like, so did you know him, or what really happened? And she said, well, you know, I was just in my house, and, you know, my parents said, hey, as a guy from another family, they want him to come marry you. And so before she knew it, she was married, which was crazy to me. I'm like, whoa, okay. You know, she got married. I mean, I love my mom to death. She didn't know what she was getting herself into. She had no choice, obviously, you know, and obviously she married an alcoholic. And they had 6 kids, and I happened to be the last, so I guess I'm the baby of the house. It's okay, you can laugh. I love being the baby of the house. So, but, you know, as we grew up, you know, I just remember, even as a kid, you know, at nights, you know, my dad wouldn't be home at night. And sometimes I remember, like, waking up in the middle of the night of him yelling at my mom. Luckily, there weren't any, like, physical abuse, but obviously, I know there were lots of yelling and probably saying things that he shouldn't say. You know, I remember there were 2 times when my dad got in a bad car wreck, and so he had to be in the hospital for a couple of days. Also, there were times where, you know, as kids, we wake up, obviously, we saw my mom washing his clothes and everything. I'm sure she was trying to wash all his throw up and everything, probably trying to hide it from us. But obviously, as kids, we know. Kids know everything. You can't really hide so many things from kids. And so, even for me, I think the crazy part is, I'm sure there were times where he drove us, his kids, drunk, you know, and just kind of like, just crazy to me, just like how everything transpired. And also, you know, but the funny thing is that he was a good guy, okay? On a normal day, when he was, like, I guess, sober, you might say when he's sober, he's kind of like the best dad. He always treats us with respect and kind of, like, buy things for us. Obviously, like I said, he was one of the accountants. We had a lot of money, so we had, like, a good, perfect life. But it was kind of just at night, it just as if there's a demon in him, just like, you know, just switches everything. But, you know, I could just continue on and on. And so, you know, my mom, like I said, she was a believer. You know, she always prayed for him. And, you know, she, I guess Psalm 121 is her life verse. And I know she always prays that over my dad. I'm just going to read it. It's long, but I'll try and read it all. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let my foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And looking back right now, I just feel like it's the amazing grace of God that protected my dad through my mom's prayer. And so, you know, like I said, my dad had 2 car wrecks, very serious car wreck, but he didn't die, you know. And so I just feel like, you know, God really saved his life just to keep him alive. And so also, I remember growing up, my dad never went to church, okay? He would drive the family to church, then we all come out of the car going to church, then he goes back home and comes back and picks us up. So my entire childhood, that was what happened. And I remember my mom kept praying for him. And so, to our surprise, when I was 10 years old, I mean, I still have the date. It's crazy. I remember it. It's like, it's the 1st of January, 1993. All right? I was like, okay, I'm going to go to church with you guys today. We're like, what just happened here? You know, and so, and that's where he began going to church, obviously, you know, every Sunday. But, you know, just because he went to church doesn't mean, you know, everything changed. Okay, he's kept continuing just to that alcoholism, just drinking every time. And, you know, and that was kind of my whole childhood growing up and everything. I kind of just being affected by that life. You know, we went to school, we came back. It was like the same cycle. My dad later retired from the government, but it was still that, just that life. And so, you know, I remember even growing up, I was saying, hey, when I grew up, I don't want to be I will never be like my dad. You know, because that was all I saw was just that kind of crazy lifestyle. But I wish I can tell you that was true. That was not true. Once I was done with high school, I started drinking too. Because what I saw my dad drunk all the time. You know, I would drink, you know, with my friends. You know, I even took mine to the next level, started smoking cigarette and weed. Is that you call it? You guys call it pot? Is that they call it here in the U.S.? Yeah. Anyway, I started that crazy lifestyle of just drinking. Why? Because, you know, that was what I saw. That was what, you know, that was the thing I saw with my dad, obviously. And so I was going through a down path. I was probably going down that road. But when I was in college, my sophomore year, I just knew that something was happening. I needed, you know, something with me is that I didn't want to go down that path. And so a girl came and shared the gospel with me in college. And so I was like, look, girl, I've been a Christian all my life. I go to church every Sunday. And she was like, well, you know, there's a difference between going to church and having a personal relationship with Christ. And so she kind of like explained what that meant to me. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9 says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved and raised up with him and seated up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace, we have been saved through faith. And this is not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, after giving my life to Christ, I just felt like my life started changing. You know, I started, you know, going to church more. I started meeting with guys who really discipled me and helped me know what it means to act out my faith. God gave me this awesome idea, vision for my life to go work with orphans in Nigeria. I started volunteering at an orphanage. I eventually, you know, became a house uncle in the orphanage. And so, you know, that was Christ's amazing grace upon my life. And so, I just remember that I kept praying for my dad. And so, just that my dad would just receive that freedom in his life. And so, Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9 says, you know, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So say, I was praying for healing for my dad, but sometimes when you pray, God answers you differently, right? And so, you know, I remember one fateful day, you know, my dad woke up and all of a sudden he couldn't speak that clearly. And something was off. And so 2 days, after 2 days, we're like, okay, you need to go to the hospital. So an hour later, my mom called and said, hey, you need to come to the hospital. Your dad just had a mild stroke. And so my dad was like, his right arm, right side got paralyzed. He couldn't move. It's crazy. Like, you know, like, can you move? Like, no, they hit the book and it's just like, I can't feel anything. I was like, okay, this is serious. And so my dad got a stroke. And so I guess even if he liked it or not, he had to give up drinking because obviously the doctor told him, like, you just have to give it up or you're going to die. And obviously he didn't want to die, so he had to give it up. And so we just started going to physiotherapy with him, and gradually, you know, he was getting his health back. And so he couldn't go to church on Sunday. And so what I'll do is I'll go to my church and come back early, you know, so that he can, there's a preacher on TV that my dad loves listening to. And so what I'll do is to make sure he listens to that preacher. Probably that will be his church that day. And so we continued doing that every Sunday. And so it was one of those Sundays that, you know, the preacher made an altar call. And that was the first time my dad publicly accepted Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. And so that was exciting. You know, I was in shock. I was like, what is happening right now? You know, and so, yeah. So my dad accepted Christ, you know, as his Lord and personal Savior, probably at the age of, I would say, early 60s or so. Which is crazy because I never imagined that would ever happen. And so just praise God for that. And so my dad's life changed. You know, he began taking his faith more serious. You know, I could tell he was reading his Bible, praying. You could just observe that the new love that he has for my mom was different, because obviously he knew, yeah, I needed to make things right with my mom. And you could just tell their love for each other just grew more and more. And so, you know, one of the funny stories that I love to share is that sometimes when we come to this family gathering, my mom always make fun of him. You know, and she would say, you know, she was like, God loves you so much, you should have died a long time ago. But his grace kept you alive. And she was like, I'm so thankful that I was not a young widow. And so she always make fun of him. I was like, why are you even making fun of him? But I guess that's her payback kind of to him. So, you know, that was kind of like the story of my dad, how God saved him from, alcoholic. And so, you know, I had to move to another orphanage because obviously I worked in the city and I met Jenny and I moved to another city. And it's another story for another day. So I got, you know, when I moved to the U.S. 7 years ago, it's crazy that it's 7 years now, we went back with the team and they came to visit us. And, you know, we just talked, he was probably six years ago, he was healthy, we talked, you know, he had plans to retire, just to go back to the village and rest, and, you know, I was like, oh, yeah. I'll see you the following year. But, you know, that was the last year I saw him, because the following January, he passed away. I remember it was the day that we were commissioning our East Asia team to East Asia, as we were about to walk into the church, that I got a call that my dad had passed away. And obviously it was a sad day. You know, I was like, okay. But, you know, I was glad, because I know that, you know, God saved my dad through his amazing grace, that my dad, even if it took him a long time to accept Christ, he finally did. And I think it's just it's God's grace that kept him alive to, you know, the age of 70. And so Jenny and I were able to go back for his funeral, and I got to share about him. You know, I even got to share when he accepted Christ to people, and, you know, hopefully that even his... at his funeral, people will come to Christ. And so I was excited about that, and just the grace of God upon my dad's life. And so, in conclusion, you know, I just want to share that his amazing grace saved my family, you know, by making sure that my dad was born, even despite all the miscarriages that my grandmother suffered. My dad married my mom and having 6 kids, and now some of my siblings are all over Nigeria serving God in different roles in their churches, saving my dad from 2 major accidents and not getting us killed. And so, you know, even healing my dad from a life of alcoholism to a new life of following Jesus. And so I think even for me, just even from following, from saving me, for not following the path of my dad, me, you know, working in an orphanage, meeting Jenny, being here, becoming a foster and adoptive dad, and even for me to even share my story to you guys this morning. And so, you know, the worship team, you guys can start coming up. And I hope I was able to encourage you guys this morning. Like we said, our series verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast of all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So as we continue in worship, there's going to be a prayer mic. You know, I would love for just to hear your stories. If you have a story of, you know, God's amazing grace in your family, you know, somebody got healing, one of your family of addiction or anything, we'd love for you to share. Or even if you need prayers for someone in your family, some of us will be at the back. We would love to pray for you all. So I'll just pray for us. Lord, thank you for just giving me the opportunity to be able to share my story today. I pray that I was able to encourage people. I just thank you that you are a God who heals. You are a God who gives grace to us even when we don't deserve it. So I just pray as we continue in our worship that you take all the glory, Lord. And amen. Mm-hmm.